Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have a look at Cowboys Twitter and some of the reactions to our big announcement from an hour and 20 minutes ago. An hour and 20 minutes ago, we made the announcement. Mike Bacsik, our broadcast brother for the last 6.5 years, he's leaving us. Yeah, he's joining the KNC Masterpiece, going back to that midday time slot.
Traitor.
And Brian Broaddus is joining us. So there's been quite a bit of reaction to that across, Cowboys Twitter and other places here over the last hour and 20 minutes. I'd say 95% of it is positive.
Good.
And, there are some people who are like, no, the chemistry was perfect between you guys. Why are you changing it? And I say I agree. But you know what? You can reset good chemistry.
Oh.
You can have good chemistry with others. And I believe, you and KNC are going to go on to great things. And Brian Broaddus with us is going to be awesome as well. So we look forward to it.
I'm going to be like Ian Kensler. I hope you guys go 0-162.
That's not a good thing because if we do terribly, it's bad for you too. I promise.
I'm just kidding. I'm going to miss you guys a whole bunch, but I'll get to see you guys still every day. Not hang out with you for 5 hours.
Yeah. It'll be a 20-minute segment every day at 1:40. Yep. All right.
So let's just try to ignore all the other people in the room.
Yeah.
For crosstalk.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I just wonder if it'll take a while before I'm comfortable enough to either pick Gavin or Broaddus as the guy that we just go after each other. Because that became really easy, where it's like, all right, Mike and Jeff, just
go ahead and fight it out.
Yeah, just kick each other in the nuts. I got to figure out which one of you needs a nut kicking, because I don't think it's your style, so I'll probably have to nut kick
Broaddus. It's just hard to find yours with all the extra skin around.
I don't have extra skin there.
Nice. What a fitting way to end it, if that's the final anteater joke.
It won't be.
Maybe they'll ask Broaddus how far he can go to start off.
How far he can go.
Remember that segment we did?
Oh.
How far can you go? Yeah, Mike held you in a very intimate way.
Yeah, I forgot about the sexual harassment in the workplace.
He did. I felt me too'd that day.
And you weren't even part of
it. You didn't. Yeah.
It wasn't even me. Okay, let's get into this Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral from America's team, from America's team's media people. Sean Sharif tweeting 20 minutes ago. Here's Brian Broaddus' scouting report, a football encyclopedia. Perfect definition of a teammate. Curious to learn all sports. Not scared to scrap. He will fight. He fought with us a couple of times this year. Unselfish and fiercely loyal. Values interviewing. Tireless work ethic. Connections everywhere. Welcome to the squad, Brian Broaddus. Yes, that's from Sean Sharif. Ari Temkin tweeting, Broaddus is the absolute best. We're lucky to have him be a bigger piece to the puzzle.
It's honestly been kind of annoying because Broaddus, if we want to peel the curtain back, maybe we'd been working on this for a little while.
Yeah.
Where Mike had been kind of wanting to get back to middays and Broaddus was maybe going to do some radio with us. And so for the last 2 months or so, the dude hadn't missed a Stars game or an FC Dallas game or a Mavs game, and he'll call and be like, did you see that goal? And I'm like, no, I'm bad luck for the Stars. I turned it off. And he's like, holy cow. And it's like, that dude works.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to do a radio show and be like, all right, Cowboys in draft.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to do a sports radio show.
He texts me during the Utah Jazz game, and he's like, Mike, you need to turn it back on. They're making a run.
He does not stop. He's a machine.
Yeah, it's a great job, and salute to our program director, Gavin Spittle, for putting this together, because it's whether it's bringing Mike into the fold or bringing Broaddus into the fold, you're talking about incredible teammates and great hard workers that love DFW sports. John Machota tweeting, how might the Dallas Cowboys spend all of their picks in this year's draft?
Machota.
Here's a 7-round projection. I'll just give you the top three.
I will not stand for Machota pretending to watch 300 players.
I actually need to know who he took in the 7th round.
I actually do. I want to know if I've heard his name yet.
Okay.
Give me all 7.
I can do that for you right here. Of course, John Machota with The Athletic in the first round. We go to Iowa, where defensive end A.J. Epenesa is on the board. And, Jeff, I believe we've talked about him. Is this the guy who's the most likely best player available or one of the most likely best player availables? You think Epenesa's going to be there?
I don't like the word hate. I dislike this year's pass rush group because all of them, you look at him, you go, okay, I really like this, but I'm not sure about this. And Epenesa might be the second edge rusher taken. And his college production's great. And the power is great. The ability to play the run is great. But he doesn't have what you're looking for in terms of the athleticism of pew around the corner. So I like him, but I don't know if I'd love him.
You're not going to win consistently without speed in this NFL.
Yeah. I mean, but hey, maybe he could be Tank.
Yeah.
Tank's not a turn-the-corner guy. He's not a super athlete.
No, but he has an incredible spin move and long arms.
Right.
You got to be a freak if you're not super fast.
Maybe that'll be Epenesa.
All right.
I wouldn't hate it if they picked him at 17.
Is a better comp for him right now Tyrone Crawford type of player? Or is that too blue
collar? Yeah, I mean, he's a better player coming out of college, but yeah.
All right. Second round here in John Machota's mock draft that he's posted. Wow, Epenesa 6'6", 280. It's a man right there. That might help shore up some run defense. I don't know if I'm looking for that at 17, though. Second round, number 51 overall out of Lenoir Ryan, Kyle Duggar. And
I don't love Machota's mock draft so far.
I'll throw in a tweet here from Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Duggar. He says, this might sound like a hot take, but it's because of public perception. The gap between Grant Delpit and Kyle Duggar on my board is very small, and some scouts even believe Duggar is a better prospect. Sounds like you're not going to agree with that, Jeff.
I am not going to agree with that. Duggar might go in the second or third round, and like, I don't want to discredit Division II football players because I played with one, and while I was playing with him, I was like, man, that dude's going to play in the NFL, and he got picked in the second round and had like a 12-year NFL career. So they can do it, and I do think he's a good prospect, but I think comparing him to a guy who in the SEC for 3 years has been an impact player, not for me. If I'm getting a second-round safety, give me Antoine Winfield, Minnesota.
Okay. In the third round, John Machota gets Bryce Hall, cornerback from Virginia. In the fourth round, Devin Duvernay, wide receiver, Texas.
Oh, new slot receiver.
I like it. That would be awesome. Fifth round, Benito Jones, defensive tackle, Mississippi.
Yeah.
I like
one
the position.
One of my favorite guys, too.
He was at the Senior Bowl, and he kind of flashed at the Senior Bowl, so I watched his tape, and his tape was disappointing, but there's something there, and that's probably about where he goes, fourth, fifth round.
I like guys named Benito.
It is a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah, Benito Santiago. Yeah. Wasn't he a rated rookie?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, 1988.
Fifth round comp pick for Cole Beasley, Devin Asiasi, the tight end, UCLA.
He'll be gone by then.
Wouldn't mind seeing a tight end come onto the team. And then I always enjoy guys named Shaq. Shaquille Quarterman. That's a cool last name, too. Seventh round linebacker out of Miami.
Machota's watched more than I have now. Haven't seen him yet.
My kids were watching a show called The Middle the other day, and I guess one of the little kids has a Shaquille O'Neal backpack, but he hates sports, but he just got it for free, and he calls him Shaquille O'Neal. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It makes me laugh every time I hear him say, he's like, I think they pronounce it Shaquille. And his friend's like, he doesn't.
Yeah. No, trust us.
Negative.
We like sports, loser. It's Shaquille. Or just call him Shaq. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys Twitter here. Let's go to the account of Blogging the Boys, because they bring up a good topic here. In terms of non-Dak Cowboys offseason priorities, what are your top five? What are your top five non-Dak-related Cowboys priorities, gentlemen?
Ooh, and we have to go in order? Or can I just...
We could spitball.
Can we spitball?
I'll let you go in order.
Throw one out.
Let me guess your order.
Well, let's spitball.
Number one,
and then
I bet your order is Byron Jones.
Okay, are we talking position groups or are we talking players?
You could take this however you want, just whatever your priority is. For instance, Blogging the Boys said their top priority is the decision between Amari and Byron. So it wasn't even an individual player. You know, you can kind of get freestyle with this. Be creative, boys.
I think that's an easy top one, but I wouldn't even assume that the decision has to be that you're keeping one of them. The decision could be that they're both gone.
Ooh.
That's totally possible.
Amari or Byron or neither.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Quinn.
Or Ann.
I know what my number one is because I think, and I don't know if you can get it done in one off season.
My number one's going to be defensive end.
Oh, okay. Mine's defensive tackle because I think in both of them, I think if you can get solid defensive tackle play, DeMarcus Lawrence, who you're paying a ton of money, becomes a better player. Your two linebackers, who you think are the future of linebacking in the NFL, can become better players. And I think it makes it easier on whoever the defensive end on the other side. If mean, they were playing with two below average to non-NFL players for a lot of the time at those two positions. So I just think, to me, my number one thing is defensive tackle. Even they don't have to be awesome, but if they're just average to good, they'll make all the players around them better.
Yeah, I agree with the logic. I'm looking at an NFL where you're really looking to get after the passer, and if Robert Quinn's not back, your second best defensive end is either named Tyrone Crawford or Armstrong. Some, by the way, today looking healthy. Or Dorrance Armstrong.
But you just said Epinesa. Is there another player there at 17?
No.
That can actually rush the passer?
No. I mean, I got names.
Like Vic Beasley or something? I don't know if he costs
No, I don't. I don't think he's that good. I'm really worried about how they're going to generate this pass rush.
Okay, well, that's interesting. We'll talk a little bit later on about salary cap stuff and all of the different possibilities here. But right now, I'm looking at $77 million, and I'm seeing closer to $25 million because, Dak and then Amari Cooper. And this Cowboys team is keeping players at closer to their cap number. I don't know if we can assume they're going to make the first-year cap number super low. So if Dak is getting paid around his cap number in year one and Amari's tagged, I don't know if you have enough money to, get Robert Quinn, pay your draft class, and also have money to fill out the remaining 20 players on your roster.
Yeah, well.
So kind of coming into free agency, I'm thinking they're not going to spend any money on defensive free agents of note. Maybe there might be a couple of million spent here and there.
I agree with you. I think it'll be guys that don't make you go, woohoo. It'll be guys who be like, oh, okay, he can make the team. He could be on the roster. And what makes that even
better
more scary,
than, when we sign other defensive tackles and safeties over the last 3 years where we go, I don't even know if they're going to make the team.
I think Jeremy Mincy style.
Yeah, Antoine Woods, they just plucked out of somewhere. Okay. Like, hey,
right,
Antoine Woods.
I guess
Woods
I'll get more excited about that.
We'll have to Google them and be like, okay.
Remember the safety we got last year?
George Mike will.
And Jeff was like, hey, he fills the role, so you don't have to draft a safety. But then
and
he didn't
we were
even
wrong.
Make the team.
I was wrong. Yeah, he didn't make the team. And here's the tough part. You talk about if they sign their guys, they'll have this much money left. And when you're power ranking the needs, if Robert Quinn's not here, is defensive end a need? Yeah, and it's massive. At defensive tackle, do they have a need? Yes, it's massive. At linebacker, do they have a need? Maybe, definitely for depth, and maybe for a starter, depending on health. Do they have a need at corner? Massive. Do they have a need at safety? Massive. And we're talking about winning the division next year.
I know.
They got so much work to do.
I know. How about this one for a priority? Get Jerry to free the weed so Randy Gregory can come back. And maybe David Irving. D-line fixed. Here you go, guys. Welcome back.
Do you think David Irving would want to play football?
I don't know.
If the paycheck's right, probably. Okay. I don't think he has a passion for it. I don't think he really cares, but he's good at it.
There's a lot of money in it for him.
If they could get Randy Gregory back, I think that would be huge for them. Huge. Because right now I'm not sure how they're anticipating rushing the passer other than
Tank
Lawrence.
Is that something on the table this offseason? I'm not following the weed and NFL story.
We've heard nothing.
Just what Jerry said about it right there at the end of the year, that we could anticipate movement on it because they want to be in line with how the world feels about it, not how the world felt about it 15 years ago.
But Randy Gregory.
Probably going to have to go in the CBA, though. Yeah. Okay.
When's the last time you heard Randy Gregory's name?
No, that's why.
Is he at the facility?
No.
Is he working out? Obviously, he has had other things other than I like to smoke weed. There's other things going on in his life.
Yeah.
So, is he handling those or is he cool?
Remember when he came back and he was all active and effervescent and being an influence in people's lives and he
Licking
was volunteering at a homeless kitchen?
Giving Mike the double barrel.
Yeah, he was having fun and interacting with the world. Last time I heard, the depression, the other things that sit behind the weed, they had kind of taken a stronger hold and were preventing him from being that involved and engaged in the world. So, with the mental health, it can snowball in a bad way for a while and then, go away. And now you're in a positive. So, but I think the only way that we could predict he could have a career is if his preferred method of coping, with legal now in 12 states, medically legal in 20 others, he was allowed to, have his preferred method for dealing with that anxiety. And boom, career. He's still young enough, too, where maybe he could get 2 or 3 years out of it. Okay, Mike Fisher set to join us. Maybe he's heard something recently about that story. Mike Fisher joins us next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to chat with Mike Fisher. He was listening earlier. Our significant show announcement. It went live, and As you may have heard, Mike Bacsik is leaving us. He's going to join the KNC Masterpiece starting Monday, 10 to 2, and Brian Broaddus is joining us in the G-Bag Nation. So after a 6.5-year run, the nation has changed again. And salute, thank you for turning it on and leaving it on. Segment's brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Franklin Frankel, 214-333-3333. Official lawyers of the Tolo. Principal office, Dallas, Texas, there, the Frankels. And here he is, Mike Fisher. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Well, let me say this about that.
Okay.
It's obviously two significant announcements today. And then when the big debut happens, that'll be a third significant moment. So that's pretty masterful branding by Gavin Spittle and 105.3 The Fan. It's actually three announcements spread out over the course of 4 days. That's pretty smart.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I love, and Spittle, Sharif, and Dawson get a great deal of credit for this. Their guys are switching shifts, but it's all still one big thing. It's the Fan is one big show.
Yeah.
That goes on all day, including in the weekends. You know, that's that clubhouse thing that Spittle talks about, and it's really true here. One of the things I love about it is it's not like, and I don't mean any disrespect to any other radio stations, everybody's trying to, you know, pay the mortgage and feed the kids, but it's not like it's some desperate move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's just it's not like, the other radio station did something. We got to do something. It's not a desperate move. It's a power move. It's a studly move. We've just added on a full-time basis all day long the only person in the world who can do what he does. Now, Brian Broaddus could do other things. He can cook, he can sing, he can dance, he can act. He's a ruggedly handsome man. But there's nobody, not only in DFW, but in America, that can do what Brian Broaddus does. So you can't do what he does, and therefore you can't do what we do. I would throw this in on Broaddus, and I think fans and Tolos who have met him, and now a whole bunch more are going to meet him. You'll find this too. I'm not just buttering up when I say he's about as generous a teammate as you can have. And Jeffrey, you certainly know this. I know a lot of people in the media, I don't think would shrink from this. He doesn't just help like, you know, me or Jeffrey. He helps everybody. People from other media outlets in Dallas and nationally call him all the time, looking for football and cowboy guidance. And I think we might have to shut some of that down, you know, now that we own him. But he's one of the best teammates that I've ever had. This is a pride and joy moment for the Fan. And it is not an uh-oh move. It's a power move. We just flexed our muscles again.
Yeah, one of the, you know, best possible talents became available, and we've managed to add him here at the Fan. It is an exciting day for us indeed, Fish. So well said, and we look forward to continuing our relationship with you and brought us here every day at 3:20 on the Fan. Okay, what are you hearing with in regards to the Cowboys today, Fish?
All right, three things to play with. Let's start with the $120 million with the cap room. And I think, Gavin, you've done, again, you and the Cowboys cap is always good stuff. And I believe you did a video on this that's at the 105.3thefan.com website.
Yeah, I did a few minutes about it. Every day in the daily debriefing, I talk about all the biggest stories we're going to discuss on the show. And that was my main one. It's interesting, okay, you know, some of the options the Cowboys have and how they're going to choose to play it.
Right. And here's what I love about the way we do this. That there's a story out there that kind of says, well, you could do this, and then, you know, you put your big calculator brain to it and have some fun with it. And then I call somebody inside the Star and say, what do you think about this, and this? So
cool.
It's true that you could go to Tank Lawrence, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Jalen Smith, Ezekiel Elliott, and restructure all those contracts. You could conceivably do that. But my Cowboy sources, I mean, you could, but we're not. That's really not our thought. In fact, this individual was kind of just barely aware of the specifics of the concept because it's so not on their plate. It is something, of course, historically the Cowboys done a lot.
Yeah.
That was the old kick the can.
Yeah.
And I remember, Gavin, you were never a fan of it. So I like that you're both aware of it and not necessarily a fan of it. Then there's some specifics that I think we have to look at, too.
Okay.
The Tyrone Crawford thing is real. Tyrone Crawford has already told a few of us, if they come to me with a restructure, I want to be here. I'd like to make that work. So that one's realistic. I don't think they're planning on cutting him. I think they'd like to move him around. But let's use the Chris Jones example.
Well, Fish, I want to tell you about Tyrone Crawford real quick. I was at the Star today to record the draft show, and either he's working very hard and he's healthy right now, or he just likes the free food because he's in the build.
Okay, that's funny you say that. He was there the day that we met the assistant coaches, too. So I think he's and the food is delicious. But he is there with a big smile on his face, and he looks pretty good to me as well. So I'm with you, Jeffrey. I think Tyrone Crawford at the right price as a Cowboy is an important guy. I also think, by the way, his injury caused him to not be able to be with the team. I think doctors told him don't travel and stuff like that. So that's a leadership void that maybe you'd like to get back and would get back if you can juggle his numbers a little bit. But let's go to Chris Jones, the punter. I know Gavin Spittle is our punting expert, but you guys can also agree with me. That wasn't exactly Chris Jones's best year, right?
He's bad now.
Okay. I think he's got a back problem, Jeffrey. And I think, you know, we forget about this with the punter and the kicker. We realize, you know, when some guy's playing with a back problem and he's an offensive lineman, we realize he's playing through pain and trying to rub some dirt on it. Well, I think Chris Jones has been doing the same thing. I think he did it all year long. But let's work on the assumption that, as you say, he's bad now. I hope not, but let's say. So the idea is release Chris Jones, and that's $2 million of cap space. But it doesn't account for two things. I think you take a cap hit if you do that.
Yeah, you do. He had guaranteed money.
Okay. And then your new punter, the minimum veteran salary next year for a three-year punter, I believe is $800,000. So what have you really saved? If the cap hit is, if you have to eat $500,000 and you have to pay the new guy $800,000, I'm not very good at math, but all you've really gained is a few $100,000.
He's got a dead cap of $1 million. If you cut him, his cap hit is 2.4. So you save 1.4, then you sign a punter, and you're coming out what, about even?
You're coming out even. And that's if you know, even a rookie punter is going to cost you $510,000. So I think it's fun to have these, to play these games and to kind of play with the math and stuff. But the reality is the $80 to $90 million number is what the Cowboys are working with. And, of course, they have a big part of that earmarked for Dak, as long as they don't change their mind, and earmarked for Amari Cooper, as long as they don't change their mind.
So, Fish, a couple of these guys will be restructured, but as a collection, there's no way they'd take it as far as 120, but maybe from 77 to as much as 90.
And maybe, what if you do this, Gavin? What if you do it as needed? When we get to, okay, it's time to decide on Robert Quinn and he wants to be here.
Oh, yeah, they've done that before. I could see that.
Yeah. Yes, and so let's find a way to restructure to get us $2 million extra, not $20 million extra. That's not the plan.
Okay, what else is going on, Fish?
All right, on the splash story, and this is Tony Pauline again. This is a former Jeff Kavanaugh character who's now a real guy reporting out of Philadelphia. And I'm not trying to throw shade on the report. The report is that he's hearing somebody close to the Cowboys draft situation, whatever that means, hears that Jerry wants to make a splash.
It was me. I told him to see if he'd write it.
I half believe that. and again, it's the same thing I said about, you know, radio stations trying to find a way to be number one. Good for you. We're all trying as hard as we can to get good information and to make an impact with it. But this report is really a Herschel Walker story. The idea that the Cowboys every year under Jerry Jones want to make a splash in the first round is such an old idea, born of the belief that, oh, those crazy Cowboys, they'll do anything, both in a way that you kind of respect and fear and also giggle at sometimes. But what have they really done in the first round in the last 6 years? They did the Travis Frederick trade down to 31 and picked up the extra third-round pick used on Terrence Williams. And since then, have they moved in the first round?
No, you had some pretty good ones like 10 years ago with Dez and Mo Claiborne. Those were fun splashes in the first round. But other than that, no, they've gone pretty dang boring and conservative with their team building in the last 6 years, I believe he said, Fish.
Yeah, boring or conservative or smart. I think most of us can agree. If you look at these first-round picks and their lack of movement, we can argue about Ezekiel Elliott, but, I mean, he's won two rushing titles. We can argue about Byron Jones, but he's their best corner. We can certainly argue about Taco Charlton, and that argument is going to be lost by anybody that supports the idea of the Cowboys having picked him. But overall, they've done very well by simply saying, let's stick to our board, let's pick the best guy, and the next thing you know, you end up with Zach Martin, Byron Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, et cetera. And then, you know, even last – Leighton Van Der Esch. And then even last year, they didn't have a first-round pick, but they could have done first-round movement and declined to do so. And so that's six straight years where, no, they didn't really make a splash. They just tried to pick the best player at the best value. And I think the Herschel Walker days are dead, even though the reputation lives. I think simply doing it smart, not doing it flashy, is really the Jerry Jones way now.
I totally hear you, Fish. And, you know, I think it's better for the organization. At a time like this, though, it is tempting to make it real fun. Sounds like they're going to remain conservative, stay the course. What are these MVP odds? What's going on with them? Yeah, I saw this note you sent.
Yeah, the last time we talked about, I think we talked about Super Bowl odds. And after I hung up, Jeffrey and Bassick, I think both pointed out, there's a reason that the Cowboys' odds are always the way they are. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, because people are going to bet them no matter what odds you give them.
It's right. Called being so a public team.
So you said, therefore, you might as well how'd you put it? You might as well make the odds what?
Which way does that move them, Gavin? You give them better odds or worse odds because you know you're going to get the action? Yeah, you give them worse odds than you should because people are going to pay for
that. There you go. Okay, so here we go to the MVP race. Does this qualify in that same category? We've got Dak Prescott at 18-1 to be the MVP. And we've got Ezekiel Elliott 28-1 to be the MVP. So are those, I'm asking the panel, are those legitimate or are those cheap lures to get Cowboy fans who are going to bet anyway?
18-1 on Dak I don't think is bad.
Is that right around where Carson Wentz is?
If you win 12 games and you're the quarterback, he's got a shot.
Yeah, exactly the same as Carson Wentz. Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are behind him. Matt Ryan's way behind at 33-1. And then how about Ezekiel Elliott at 28-1, putting him just behind Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, you can throw away your money if you want to. They ain't giving it to a running back, though.
Definitely not giving it to Zeke.
I think I wish you could bet that, Jeffrey. I bet that – I just want to bet that it's not a running back.
I want to bet on quarterbacks, please.
I don't have this in front of me, but – I think you got to go back a ways now.
Peterson.
To go, how long ago was that?
15 years.
More than a decade.
And that was his 2,000-yard season?
Yes.
Yeah, and again, the game now is designed for the quarterback to put up the numbers. You know, a running back has two touchdowns in a game. That's a heck of a day. But quarterbacks get four touchdowns in a game, and we barely blank. So I'm with you, meaning Dak Prescott is legitimately more likely to be the MVP. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, above him, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the top two guys at 6-1 and 13-2.
Appreciate you as always, Fish. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time.
Thanks, boys.
There he goes. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. I think I just cut him off right there.
You definitely cut him off. He had something great, I think.
Well, we got to get to the baseball nuggets, Mike. Where are we going with that?
Gosh, I have no clue what's happening in baseball today. Have you?
All right. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for baseball nuggets here on a big day in the big leagues. Here he is, former Rangers left-hander Mikey B.
Well, the Yankees organization, the Yankees manager, the Yankees fans are not having it. Aaron Boone yesterday in a press conference, I haven't heard him speak today. He might already have at spring training, but he pretty much said, look, A.J. Hinch didn't clear this up for me if they cheated last year. Obviously, if you heard any of the press conference today, zero was cleared up there. Then they talked to the players in the locker room, and Carlos Correa was the only person to come out and say, we did not use anything in 2019. I believe Carlos Correa, 100%. I believe Carlos Correa. that he didn't use anything and that he didn't know any of his players were using anything to cheat last year. What I think he doesn't know is he doesn't know that his up-the-middle partner, Jose Altuve, was using a buzzer. And probably the guy to the right of him playing third base was using a buzzer, because Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman in that same locker room where Carlos Correa says nobody did that, they still keep saying to that question, the commissioner looked into it and said we didn't do it. I'm not going to say I didn't do it.
I can't say no.
This is where now Mike Bassett comes in. They will not say I did not wear a buzzer. I did not cheat at all in 2019. All Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman will do is say stuff like, through an agent, hey, tell him I said this is ridiculous. The commissioner did a report and he didn't find it.
You know the guilt has to be eating those guys alive.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell that lie. They're already devastated in themselves, disappointed in themselves, right? Like, wow, I'm a cheater. My greatest accomplishment's for nothing. I mean, I guess I have money, but my reputation is shot. I can't look my dad in the eye right now. So all they have to do is lie. It's like, no, we didn't wear any buzzers. Get that out of here. And they can't even say that right now.
The main thing that I got out of today is, and I don't think Houston Astros wanted this, but this is the main thing I got out of it, and I think a lot of other fans of the sport. They cheated in 2019 and made it to the World Series based off of cheating again in 2019. Yeah. And here's what I think. I don't think Carlos Correa knows that they cheated. I don't think AJ Hinch knows that certain players cheated. I think here's what happened. Here's my theory on it. Guys like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman have noticed the huge advantages they've gotten by winning a World Series and being very successful the last 3 years. And as they couldn't use certain things and make it public to people because they knew it was wrong and they'd be caught, here's what they did. You know how much those video code breaker guys get? They're probably getting $40,000 to $60,000 a year to do that job. Yeah. And I don't even know if they honestly get $60,000. It's not a high-paying job. What they're hoping is someday they become John Daniels. That they work their way up the ladder to become a general manager of an organization and make seven figures doing that at some point. So all Jose Altuve has to do is say to the guy making $40,000 to $50,000, here's the deal. It's between me and you. I'm going to give you $50,000. You're going to buzz me when you know the sign. Buzz
like
me,
the old
buzz,
steroid relationships.
Buzz me once
with
on fastball and make sure you buzz me twice on a breaking ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're making $40,000 to $50,000 doing a computer and you're already code breaking, but
amazing.
You're like, yeah, I'll double my salary if you're going to give me $50,000 cash to send you I'm just going to have to hit a little buzzer and make sure nobody else knows about it for $50,000. Heck, and I might be low on the number.
I agree.
It might be $150,000 that Altuve was giving the people, or that Bregman was giving the people to give them the signs.
I mean, that kind of information is invaluable. You know, you could make million. I totally agree with you, though, that, you know, this is something that I think players may have wondered about or heard whispers about.
Yeah.
But AJ Hinch, Carlos Correa, you know, they didn't have any, kind of like how the steroids thing was happening and everybody knew it was. But for yourself, you never saw it.
I never saw anybody take a needle and put it, you know, in their butt or in their leg.
You ever
see
any vials of steroids?
No, I never saw any vials of steroids hanging around the clubhouse at all. I have a great idea of my teammates that did and didn't use it. But yet I never saw them use steroids, you know, in front of me. And I think what happened in 2019 is the players went rogue on, hey, we don't have Alex Cora anymore. We don't have Carlos Beltran anymore. I need this. Because as Harold Reynolds put it on MLB Network, this is intoxicating. Winning is intoxicating. If Harold Reynolds was killing it today, he's like, if the players would just come out and say, you know why we did it and kept doing it? Because we were winning. And not only were we winning, but we won a World Series doing it. And we're really sorry. But what was motivating us? Why did we keep doing it when we knew it was wrong? Because we were winning.
Yeah.
And we can understand that as other people who are competitive and have been in situations, we can understand after it's all over and we get caught. And it's not the right thing. It's just how we are as humans is we're gonna be like, you know what? That really was wrong. But in the moment, at the time, everything that was motivating me was winning. And,
yeah.
And then we would say, gosh, you know what?
We would forgive them,
these guys are human. I can see myself in that situation going, you know what? I need to know the pitch because I want to get to the World Series. I want to be a champion. And then after it's over, you might feel a little bit bad about it. And then if somebody catches you, you're like, you know what? I feel really bad about it because what I did was wrong. But man, the motivation inside my head was just too much about winning and not enough about doing things the right way.
We would understand that. You know, we'd forgive those guys. And it's unfortunate they can't say that because probably the lawsuit that's going to come into play, you know? Yeah. I think MLB looks at each one of its members like, you're too big to fail. We can't punish you too hard because it would be bad for everybody. There's just it's way too messy of a story, and it's unfortunate. You know, in Europe, what would happen to a team like this? Okay, you're gone. You know, good luck making your way back up to the professional leagues, but we're demoting you two or three different levels, and you can have fun working your way back up. But because of the way that this thing is structured, the same governing body that's supposed to keep you accountable is in business with you, you know, and it's just there's an impossibility. It is a false commissioner's office. You're not a commissioner. Yeah. You are our employee, and you provide the illusion that you are actually working to preserve fairness.
I saw your tweet today. It was a solid tweet about, that.
It's embarrassing, you know, and the more and more that money gets big, the more you're going to see this kind of protectionism governance instead of doing what's fair.
I know they're not going to do this. They need to look into 2019, whatever, way more, because like you said, the Athletic and Ken Rosenthal is breaking way more of this than Major League Baseball. It's reporters doing it. And then they follow up on the report that the reporter had to see if they can find more. And they found a little bit more. But after what happened today, if I was the commissioner, and by the way, man, this is kind of random. Chris Young from Highland Park, who I played with on the Texas Rangers, 6'10" pitcher. He's now the senior vice president in Major League Baseball after retiring a few years ago and on track to possibly be a commissioner of baseball. That would be great to get a former player who played 13 years, went to Princeton, so, you know, great education. And maybe he would say, you know what, I'm looking up this stuff because I don't think this commissioner is going to go far enough to find out how bad it was in 2019.
I hope so, man. I hope, and I hope they throw the book at him. You know, the other layer then instantly becomes how many other teams would be like, no, don't look into them.
You know, if they said that, because one time Jose Altuve he was F-minus today. I mean, as horrible as you could be. I'm a huge Jose Altuve fan. Love using him as an example when teaching kids.
He's the last cheater standing, probably.
And he is, to me, I'm like, he just seems the worst to me today, and I have so much respect for him as a player, but right now I don't. In fact, it's a today statement I would make, and I'm never going to get a vote for the Hall of Fame. I'd never vote for him for the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not. As much as people keep out Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, I'm keeping you out because you not only are you cheating, but now you're super lying about everything too. And here's what Gary Sanchez had to say, the Yankees catcher. He said, I can tell you that if I hit a homer and got my team to the World Series, they can rip off my pants. They can rip off everything. I don't care. He said, if I get my team to the World Series hitting a walk-off homer like that, they can rip off everything. And so, you hit a homer. I mean, think about this, especially Astro fans. Think about this. Jose Altuve is a big personality. It's not like he doesn't show like emotion and get excited when he does something on the baseball field. He hit a home run off Aroldis Chapman on a slider. Somehow he was sitting 87-mile-an-hour slider when the dude throws 101. That meant if he threw a fastball, his leg would still be up in the air if he was actually guessing slider the way that he did. There was no hesitation like, oh, I see the spin of the ball. I'm now changing into the ball's going to take a little bit longer to get here, and it's going to move, you know, away from me. He knew exactly what was coming. And then when he hit third base to go to the World Series, he's worried about his jersey. He doesn't want to celebrate with his teammates immediately. He wants to go into – it wasn't like he was crying like Dirk Nowitzki, who was emotional because he won the title for the Dallas Mavericks and it was a lifelong dream and never thought it was going to happen, and it happened. First kind of foreign player to lead a team to a – they had nothing. He had nothing like that. He went and made sure the buzzer was off.
It's brutal, man. And I just want to know, now that we're a month into this, what happens in a couple of months when the baseball season starts? Are we going to forget about this, or is it going to sit over baseball like a stench? I hope it does.
I think it's going to ruin their season.
It's going to ruin their season. Will it have an impact on the league in general, or just the
Astros? I hope, and I know that the media is going to back off of it because they're the ones that have to cover baseball every day. I hope everywhere that they go, after and before every game, somebody has asked a specific question. Hey, you're here in Oakland. Were you guys able to do this in Oakland?
Yeah.
Like, and go to every one of them until they kick you out of the room, and then tweet out, Astros just kicked me out of the room because I was asking if they ever code-braked. And got the signs relayed here in Oakland, and the Houston Astros media is not allowing me to ask questions. And then when they go to Anaheim and here in Arlington, T.R. Sullivan and Evan Grant and other guys, and I know they're in spring training right now, we deserve as fans of baseball to keep grilling these players until we get better answers. Ask them, if you're a Texas Ranger person, ask them, did you guys crush Yu Darvish in the World Series and in 2017 when he was on the Rangers because you knew exactly what he was throwing when he was throwing it?
Well, ask Altuve before and after every game until he actually answers it. Hey, why can't you deny that you cheated in 2019?
Yeah.
Like, why don't do you point me to the commissioner's report. Yeah. Don't point me to the report. Did you cheat?
Yeah.
Why can't you say no?
I think the biggest bad guy is the commissioner, though, don't you guys?
I think he is falling way short of the job, and unfortunately, it's just the owners hire the person. It's not really a real commissioner. He needs to be put on somewhat of a probation status and maybe fired and look for somebody else because he's failing at this job.
I hope we're disappointed enough in the commissioner's office that something profound happens, right? I mean, it just seems like the fans are powerless, and once the game starts back up, we'll be like, okay, well, they didn't keep him accountable, but I still love this game, or I love this team, and I want to keep watching, right?
Yeah.
It's just not right that they could steal a World Series like that and pretty much be held unaccountable. And to me, it's just disgusting how we've made a mockery out of competition in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, in football, it's not about having the best quarterback. You know, it's about something else that the owners are more worried about than wins and losses. A guy taking a knee on the sidelines, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't need to win, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to put my best foot forward. I need to have a coach who I like. You know, fans are taking the shorts so often in these kinds of situations as the owners are taking an insane amount of money. And now it has retarded their ability to keep each other accountable. Because they're like, oh, we can't keep the Astros accountable. That might sink the ship. And that's when you know the entire structure of American sports needs to be detonated and reinvented. Because money has so irreparably changed the dynamics. It should be win and play by the rules and you get money. Cheat and lose and you're not making money. But now there's so much money coming into it that the commissioners, the franchise owners are all thinking, how do we protect this money? Instead of how do we make our sport better? How do we serve our fans? How do we make sure this is fair?
Yeah.
They are not protecting their own shields or their own brands. And it's disgusting. I just don't know if fans are paying enough attention to be thoroughly outraged as they should be, as they might be if one of the players got drunk and punched his girlfriend in the eye.
Great way to end it. Love everything you said. And now next week we get to hear about how the 2018 world champions cheated to get their championship. Oh,
man. Okay.
I mean, like the Astros are taking all the brunt and they deserve everything they're getting. Man, the Red Sox are getting off really easy by cheating their way to a 2018 championship. I mean, it happened back to back years in baseball.
It's got to come for them.
And guess what? The Astros tried to cheat their way, and I found out through Nationals connections and my friends, the Nationals were working around the clock. They weren't sleeping because they had to play the Astros in the World Series because they knew through the other teams that the Astros played that this team uses cameras in 2019 and using some system to get the signs to their hitters.
Yeah. I mean, we had that Cleveland Browns linebacker. He got like one insider tip. He did 3 years in jail. Meanwhile, you can steal an entire World Series and defraud the American public. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's
cool.
That's
sports. They're just competing. trying to win.
We have Cowboys news of the day and a deep dive into the 2020 salary cap situation. How much money would you guys like to open up against the cap? It's next in the nation.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!